We are dwarfs in the company of a giant.
You're experiencing a communication breakdown on WFMU.org.
Sometimes I hear you speaking in here when I know there's nobody in here but you.
You have not yet reached the age, have you, where you move to utterance of thoughts properly kept silent?
Been known to mutter.
Not the odd mutter. Habitual fucking vocalizing of thoughts best kept to yourself.
We never walk, we never talk, we never find the time to be close again.
You're goddamn right.
There it goes again. Communication breakdown.
That'll be between you and your God.
Communication breakdown.
Those that doubt me, suck up by choice.
Too much concern for money to burn. Too many things to do. Now you don't need me, and I don't need you. Communication breakdown.
But I did not fuck the horse.
Communication breakdown.
I should certainly fucking hope so.
One by one, they fell.
Whatever the fuck that means.
Now the leaves are mumbled, cling to the ground. Communication breakdown.
That's twice you fucking stand it.
Communication breakdown.
Should I exhale out my ass?
Too much too soon. Too much temptation.
I don't fucking know.
In a hurry.
Cocksucker stepped on my toe.
It's a sad situation.
Fucking cunt.
Too much worry.
You are a fucking cunt.
I can tell. Communication breakdown.
Just did the same fucking thing I told you not to.
Communication breakdown.
That cocksucker, I hate that bastard.
There it goes. Communication breakdown.
Don't you doubt me? Suck cock by choice.
Communication breakdown.
That cocksucker.
When it's right,
cocksuckers.
It's so right.
Cocksucker.
When it's wrong. When it's gone, it's all gone. It's too late.
Oh, fucking look.
Communication breakdown.
Shut up, you son of a bitch.
Communication breakdown.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I can tell that it's over now.
You pie-faced cocksucker.
Communication breakdown.
Bullshit.
Communication breakdown.
What some fucking skill.
Oh my God, I'm always fucking nuts.
You have to keep rubbing my fucking nose in it.
As much as you can, please minimize your obscenities.
It's common fucking courtesy.
Messages from invisible sources. Or what some people think of as progress.
Ain't the state of things cloudy enough? Don't we face enough fucking imponderable?
Anything you want to tell us, Mr. T?
WFMU.
You and me are allies, marching into battle together. And aren't smart-ass replies amongst allies a waste of fucking time?
Thank you, Al. Chris T., Communication Breakdown. Today's whenever the fuck time it is, Communication Breakdown, you will hear some live audio from an aerial view party thrown for me by Maria Levitsky. Thank you, Maria. We had a nice time down at Maxwell's, and we're going to go there in just a moment. And then come on back for the Midnight Call of Friends segment. Tonight's friend, Andy Nicastro, out in Seattle, Washington. We'll wrap it up with my live appearance at the Rodeo Bar, along with the Damn Lovelies. This was back in the beginning of April, where I performed my crowd-pleasing Convoy. Let's go right now to the Aerial View Party.
Having a difficult time with it. I realize it's too late go back and change my clothing yet again. I'm not entirely happy with what I'm wearing, but hey, it's too late to turn back now. Was that you beeping? Better be. That's all I could say.
You're looking well.
I was trying to decide whether to go back in and change it again.
Oh, you look good.
I'm not sure I'm happy with my outfit, but then I realized, you know what? I'm not a girl. Who cares about the fucking outfit?
Well, maybe I care.
Well, you're not a girl either. Why would you care?
Oh.
I got the show with me.
You're going to record?
Welcome to Communication Breakdown, Jeff Mashey. Which way are you going to go to Maxwell's? You know how to get there?
It's been a while.
Go straight.
I'm going to go straight, man.
Let's see what that ambulance is up to.
Let's see what that ambulance is up to. I passed like three on the way here.
I have no idea what to expect. In case you've just tuned in or downloaded the podcast, Jeff and I are headed north on Adams Street towards 9th Street in Hoboken.
Very, very lovely access.
Don't let these people pull out in front of you. You slow down, you just confuse them. Just go at a constant, steady speed. That's all you have to do.
I like, I'm used to this urban.
Look out for the pedestrian!
You know, I come from the suburbs, man, where people are civilized.
It's a right turn here. Jeff and I go back to 12 or 13 years old, I believe.
Yes, 7th grade.
Leonard Hurst Junior High School.
God, look at this. Look at the other people driving this.
It's not how they drive, it's how they park that's the problem. That fucking asshole, like, right, pulled right up to the curb. I saw a guy booted this morning for that very thing. I came out of my apartment to get the bus, and
what they should do in Hoboken is they should just make the whole thing one big pedestrian walkway and outlaw cars. Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Yeah, I don't know about that. But you could go left here and go up to 11th Street, or you
can
go down.
No, I want to see, I want the full Washington Street experience.
That's right, Jeff used to live in Hoboken.
Sometimes. 5 years.
It's a totally different town now, man. It's been overrun.
It's become by these. Chris, actually, you said it right once, and I've stolen this line many times from you, so I have to give you credit. It's become a drinking theme park.
A drinking theme park. I said that? That's pretty
funny.
You
said it many years. Yes, yes, and I've stolen it from you many times. Oh, this Lisa's Deli. Still one of the best delis around.
The great deli around the corner from the Italian deli is going out of business. Pasquale's, I'm upset about that. They have the greatest, like, roast beef and mozzarella sandwich you've ever had.
Well, I missed the two things I missed most about Hoboken are the mozzarella and the bread, and that's it. That's pretty much it. Nothing else. I don't miss a damn thing. Maybe the view from Stevens is not so bad. That's about it.
Here we are on whatever the street this is. Is this 7th Street? No. 9th Street.
Is that a fire truck in front of us? What is that?
It's a fire truck, yes.
Does anybody own a Hummer in this town? How do they drive?
I have seen Hummers in this town, but I think that they... If there's a Hummer in this town, the person probably has a parking space for it. I'm a little apprehensive. I don't know what to expect at Maxwell's.
You're among your friends. Will you calm down? Should this be somber, like a funeral? Because it's a funeral. It's over?
It should be like an Irish funeral where we drink lots of whiskey.
Irish?
Yeah.
But it's not, Aerial View is over. It's not over so much as it evolved into this new thing, right?
Aerial View, I think, in my opinion, is over. The show that was Aerial View is no more. I think even if I did another phone-in show on the air, for instance, it wouldn't be called Aerial View. I've retired that name. Like, you retire a number in baseball.
People come back all the time. Look at all the rock stars. They have final tours of Dad.
What the fuck is this fire truck doing now?
Actually, I forgot you can swear on your
podcast. I can swear on my podcast show all I want.
I don't have to watch my language.
You're listening to Communication.
I'm dropping you off here. I'm going to go park in
Breakdown.
In the next city.
On WFMU.org.
Just hold the seat for me, all right?
I'll walk with you if you want.
It's going to be far. I'm just letting you know.
Nah, fuck that.
I'll see you in about...
Listen, you're a good friend, but fuck that.
I'll see you in a half hour.
All right.
I feel like a snowball.
We don't really know how many people are going to be here. I mean, it might be a lot of people, but we could have a...
It might be nobody. Who knows? Could be us.
Well, the best I can do is put your group is for six right now. And
yeah.
Yeah,
that's great,
because
we're going to have... If I can't muster six people, I'm going to go home and shoot myself.
Pick up Shortwave on that.
It's my new show. That's Communication Breakdown.
So how do you
take
get
it with
to
me
that?
Wherever... Download it to your computer. It's an MP3. and you listen to it. Or you download it to your iPod.
It's like you and me, Chris.
Well, Jeff Nash
here.
How are you? Well, Maria's here. She's in the bathroom. And Jeff Massey's here. He's parking his car. I know I should have pointed this out earlier, but you may have seen this. This basically means we're on communication breakdown. So I'm recording. If that's not okay with anybody or somebody, rather than being recorded.
I want my voice.
Say the word.
I want my voice distorted.
I could use an assumed name, a fake name for you.
No, how are you? We're not doing the name thing.
So five people like Ariel View.
I don't count. No, wait a minute. You don't count.
I don't count. That's what I said. Four people.
Hi, Diane.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, you don't have a drink. Okay.
Well, no, there's two of us without drinks.
We toast many times. To Ariel View and to Communication Breakdown.
Communication Breakdown. Burning his candles.
Well, this is Communication Breakdown, yeah. Recording, yeah. It's, you know, I'll turn it off and I'll tell you what, I'll turn it off in the food arrives. So no one has to hear you eat. No one has to hear anybody eat.
They can cut the blue streak. They are talking about extending language rules to
asshole. You can actually even say on certain TV.
Not anymore, buddy. Not since Janet Jackson. Not anymore. If you've noticed, it hasn't happened since then.
You know, I downloaded Paris Hilton's podcast today. It's really funny.
Yeah. Like. Funny, or so horrible?
Unintentionally funny.
Yeah. That's the best kind of funny.
Yeah, she has a little jingle. There's a little theme song. A theme song for like a 5-minute podcast.
It's 5 minutes long, the thing?
Yeah, it's not 5 minutes long.
Is it supposed to be daily?
I don't know. It's the first one. She really is like, it's like a diary.
But she's got a theme song. That's important.
Yeah.
Chris, I got you a couple of interesting farewell things from the show.
So I was mostly just a listener, but
I'm avid listener. This is sort of a symbolic gift.
It's a harmonica.
Not a harmonica.
It's a Corbin monica.
The hands of time.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, the grains of time.
You got me an egg timer?
Oh, no. That's for sure. The time is running out, buddy.
It's an egg timer.
It's exactly 3 minutes.
It's 3 minutes. Either way, I guarantee you.
It's filled with...
Here's a little something else that I thought was interesting for you.
It's filled with pepper instead of...
Is it okay if a friend of ours sits at the end of the table?
This is from your listeners because you're not on the air anymore. Lover's Leap Tea.
I'm out of tea. This is good. It's actually good.
It's Lover's Leap Tea. His call is going to be jumping now because he can't dispel any advice now.
Yeah. It's very symbolic, very interpretive. Thank you, Jeff.
There's no call and show anymore. People can't call with their problems.
You're in the middle of a communication breakdown.
Welcome to Communication Breakdown. This is Chris T. Midnight dial a friend. It's after midnight. It's now 12:35.
Hello.
Andy?
Yes.
Andy Nicastro?
Yes.
Welcome to Communication Breakdown.
Hello, Communication Breakdown.
Midnight call a friend so we can have a conversation.
Sounds good. Because it's not midnight where I am.
I cheated it last time with Kaz, too.
Exactly.
Because it wasn't midnight where he is. He's in the Hollywood Hills over there.
And you're in Seattle. Let's tell everybody what part of Seattle you're in.
I'm in the University District of Seattle, right near the University of Washington.
Now, can you describe that? Like, what kind of folks move in there? What kind of neighborhood? What's the demographic? Is it younger?
Oh,
is it older? Is it...
It's young kids. It's the college crowd. And the University of Washington is huge. It's got like 30,000 students. And, they got fraternities. They got the whole area. It really takes up... most of northeast Seattle is basically taken up with university.
So you're roaming among co-eds all day long? Or?
Pretty much. Hot hetero chicks. That's basically it.
And how long have you lived there now? You've been in Seattle since when?
1989.
Has it been that long? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
I met Andy when I moved to New Jersey. My first job was in Dumont at this telemarketing firm, because telemarketing was all I knew. Mm-hmm. Back then, and strangely enough, telemarketing is what kind of led to me having a talk radio show. It was good training for talking to people on the phone.
Exactly, yeah, for dealing with problem people.
Dealing with assholes, let's say it.
Oh, that's right, yeah, we're podcasting.
Fucking assholes.
With fucking douchebags.
And you worked at the New York Times circulation, right? Or you worked a number of different places.
No, I didn't, I was on the, not on the New York Times thing. But I was with, Saks, Macy's, Acme.
I did the Saks Fifth Avenue account. I did a few other accounts. I got to know Andy's mother, who was a supervisor there.
That's right.
I think before I even met Andy. And then it turned out Andy worked there. And this was when? 1980 what?
This was like 84, 85.
God, I did. I did think I always forget if I moved to New Jersey in 84 or 87. But I think it was 84.
Yeah.
I think that's how long ago it was. And so we became friends, and Andy has subsequently moved out to Seattle.
Exactly.
I haven't seen you since 1989 in person. We've just talked on the phone and email.
Right.
Now Andy has a blog. Give us the blog address.
Oh, the blog address is Andy Nicastro. That's AndyNicastro, one word, .blogspot.com.
And Andy's last name may sound familiar because his sister Judy Nicastro was on Aerial View back in April or March of last year or something. I forget when exactly it was, but now Andy is here. I called him the other day and I said, I'm doing this new podcast show. And Andy said, what's a podcast? No,
podcast. I picture like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They're here! They're here! Strangely enough, that was filmed, just to bring this all around in a circle, that was filmed kind of where Kaz is staying. Remember I said he was in the Hollywood Hills?
Right.
So when you come down that road where he's at, you come all the way to the bottom of the hill, that's where Kevin McCarthy was running from the pod people.
Oh my God.
And it's amazing because it still kind of looks the same, so you can just imagine.
Sure.
But podcasting... is a pretty interesting concept. You can automatically download my show to your iPod or some other MP3 player.
Mm-hmm.
It's available every 2 weeks, although this one is late. It's going to be available hopefully every 2 weeks once I get up to speed. You download it to your iPod and you listen to it while you're at the gym, or in my case, sitting on the couch.
Right.
Or driving in the car, hook it up with a cassette adapter and listen to it. But the idea is that, the show does take a little while to produce. And I'm trying to help that along by having these segments, one of which you're listening to right now. It's called Midnight Call a Friend.
Excellent.
And I'm lying because I called Andy at 12:35, and it's not even 12:35 where he is. It's 9:35.
Yeah, precisely. But it's close enough.
What's the Saturday night vibe in your part of Seattle?
Well, Seattle it kind of shuts down, actually, at 10. It's
You don't have hipsters parading the streets, going to bars, that kind of thing?
A couple.
Club goers.
There's some, but basically it's unlike a place like New York or even Northeast Jersey, which will be open till, 2, 4 a.m.
I know, I just had a pork chop.
Right, and New York, never closes.
Yeah.
Seattle, everything really closes at about 10 o'clock.
Hmm.
So there's not much of a, there's really not that much of a party scene going on.
People tend to drink alone in their apartments. Is that what they do?
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, of course, there's some clubs and people try to go to them and pretend that they're having a good time.
Yeah, but we all know how desperate they are deep down inside. We all know.
Exactly. And also, we also know, really, most critically, we also know how desperately poor most people are.
Yeah, it's expensive to go out, you know, especially in this area. I mean, if I go out in New Jersey in a bar, I was in a bar last night, the one around the corner from me. Friday, last night, I had a little aerial view party. Actually, Maria Levitsky threw the party for me at a club called Maxwell's in Hoboken. And we had a few people get together. Station manager Ken Friedman was there. Bill and Jim showed up. Diane came down. Later, Rob and Katie showed up. So it was a nice little gathering of people who wanted to say goodbye to Aerial View and hello to Communication Breakdown. Matter of fact, I recorded some audio from that because I realized that wherever I have my recorder, that's where the show is.
That's right. That's right.
It's amazingly portable. I'm not tied down to the studio like I once was.
Exactly.
Tonight I'm tied down to the studio because I'm talking to Andy from Studio B. And why the hell was I telling this story about the air? Well, I was in a bar and I ordered a couple of drinks and I quickly realized that the drinks were fairly expensive, you know? And it's like, man, you know, if I was going out on a regular basis, I could easily see dropping $100 before I came back home.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And that's a bare minimum. I'm talking about a bare minimum just to go out and have a slightly good time.
Precisely.
To get
yeah.
slightly inebriated. Because me, it takes me five or maybe five drinks, you know, decent quality drinks, before I'm inebriated enough to become, you know, socially more agreeable, let's say.
Same here.
So I'm already, you know, that's costing me $100. And I say, fuck it. Fuck being socially agreeable. I'll drink alone at home and save some money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's just not much to do out here. There really isn't. You know, you got a couple of clubs.
Yeah.
But nothing really.
But
cool.
Seattle and Washington is like what we would call a blue state, right? I mean, is it not?
Yes.
So you're not, at least you're not surrounded by like raving lunatic right wingers.
Well, we kind of are. We're a blue state, but the eastern side of the state is very, very red.
The part that touches, that pokes up against what?
Against Idaho.
Against Idaho. No wonder why. Idaho is like Aryan Nations over there, for Christ's sakes, right?
It is. Yes, it is. I think that is where they're headquartered.
Exactly. Idaho. Who would have thought? I think potatoes come from Idaho. And then you find out that that's like where, you know, all of these Christian identity movements, what they call, you know?
Right.
And let's face it, Andy, this country's becoming a Christian identity country. It's like those people are calling the fucking shots.
Absolutely.
We got the new Pope Benedictine, whatever the hell his name is.
Yes.
Jesus Uber Alles. Jesus Uber Alles.
Fritz the Pope.
He didn't enjoy being in the Hitler Youth. Come on. He didn't enjoy that.
No.
Maybe he liked the knives, but he didn't enjoy it.
Right. And, like, what kind of person would say, yeah, I did? You know, like, I did you in Hitler Youth. Oh, yeah, it was great. It was the best time of my life. You know?
Oh, being with all those blonde, blue-eyed boys. It was a great time.
Really, if you said, all the time I was so worried they'd find out I was Jewish.
Ach, du Liebe! Gott in Himmel!
Gott in Himmel, did I say that?
Was ist los? Jesus über alles! It's amazing, yeah. I thought there was going to be a Latino pope. Some people talked about a black pope, possibly. You know, I wasn't laying heavy odds on a black pope, but I thought a Latino pope could happen this time. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And were you shocked and amazed when you saw who eventually got the nod? Plus the fact the man's 78 years old.
Exactly. But, you know, sometimes they do these things because they figure, put this old fucker in he'll be dead in 3 years.
And we'll get another free trip to Rome. Is that what they're thinking?
No,
yeah, we'll get to come to Rome again. That'll be nice, right?
We get to dress up and we get a couple of days. They're probably thinking, hey, when the Pope dies, do they get, like, you know, bereavement pay or something?
Oh, come on. I think the Catholic Church is handling everything. They're not going in pocket for anything, are they?
Yeah, no way.
Well, if you're a cardinal, do you even need to have, like, a salary? Or do you just, I mean, how does that work when you're a cardinal?
Know. Yeah, no, I don't know how that
You got to think that the dry cleaning bills alone are, you know, forget it, massive.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the Roman Catholic Church has its own dry cleaning establishment, though.
I'm sure they do, but you got to figure at that age, too. You know, they're a little trembly. They're spilling wine on themselves.
Yeah,
you know,
they're shitting themselves. You know,
exactly.
not on purpose, right. Just incontinence, you know.
Exactly, diapers.
At that age.
Probably. That's why they got to wear all those robes.
You don't think there's a papal diaper, do you?
I bet he probably was. He had a colostomy bag.
Whoa, really? I didn't know that. That's
yeah.
News
when
to
I was
me.
Working, when I was working a job, we all got into a big discussion about whether the Pope had ever had a colostomy bag, and so we called the Seattle Public Library, and they did a search, and they found out yes.
You're shitting me. I don't mean.
I am not. He was that guy shot him.
Yes.
He had to go around with a colostomy bag.
Oh, you mean the Pope that just died? New improved German Pope, right?
No, not our new BMW Pope. Yeah. No, with him. But you never can tell. I bet John Paul was definitely probably had something like that towards the end. I'm sure he was totally incontinent. I'm sure he was wearing diapers.
Yeah, it just happens. You get to be that age. I remember one time I was at my grandmother's house, and I was walking. My grandmother was walking up the steps into the house, and I was behind her. Mm-hmm. And she was old at this point, and it would only she was dead within 6 months. But she had something happen. She had an accident, and next thing I know, there was like shit dripping down the back of her leg.
Sure,
you know, and I felt so embarrassed for her. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I immediately tried to grab a paper towel and start cleaning up. But it's my grandmother, and she was really embarrassed. You could tell.
Oh, of course.
Now
of
you
course.
Can't have that happen with the Pope. You can't be walking behind a Pope and suddenly there's shit running down his leg.
That's right.
Come on. If my grandmother was embarrassed, imagine how the Pope's gonna feel.
Right. Exactly. But at least your grandmother didn't go, "Hey, look, I'm infallible." You know, right?
Well,
maybe she did. I don't know. But I'm just saying, what's really funny with the Popes is, you know, you get these old people. And you're right, these people, they got to, you know, they're wearing diapers. Yeah, but I'm still infallible. Like, oh, okay, yeah, right.
You know what? I have a suggestion. You know, I like the fact that, like, if you're a Buddhist, you can worship, like, a six-year-old or something. Like, the guy who's in charge of everything is 6 years old because he's been reincarnated, right?
I mean,
couldn't they have a young pope? Couldn't they have, like, a teenage pope or something?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, who's to say that the pope has to be an old, old guy?
I know. Yeah, no, he can be young. And I figured the best thing probably, like, right, those Tibetan Buddhists where they find the six-year-old kid and they put him in charge.
Right.
He's probably like, you know, what's for breakfast? Ice cream, all right. The monster, like, all they do is eat ice cream all day.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Now, you know who has a right to be mad, though? I was thinking about this. With the Pope.
The Christian identity movement?
The one people are like, oh, they should have had a black pope, or they should have had a Latin American pope. It occurred to me, the one group of people who really should be pissed off about not having a pope is the Irish.
The Irish?
Absolutely.
They've been hanging in there with that Roman Catholic thing forever, right? I mean, they've been at it forever.
That's it. I mean, they've been the longest, you know, if anybody has the right to say, God damn it, give us our pope, it's the Irish. I mean, they've been doing that Catholic crap since it began.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, maybe they feel if the Pope isn't Irish, then they can get away with a little bit more. You know, like maybe they think if he's somebody comes from somewhere else, they can fuck up a little bit and it won't really matter that much. Maybe they feel they got to really stay in line if it's an Irish Pope.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm trying to look on the bright side here. I mean, a German Pope, though, this is what I find really interesting, is it does seem like a retrograde kind of step, doesn't it? I mean, or is it me?
No, it's totally weird why you would get, you know, the nation that gave us Luther, you know, you're going to go to them for your pope.
Yeah.
It just seems really strange. And I know he's got this whole thing where he's, his big goal now is to basically re-Christianize Europe and America.
And what's he going to do? I mean, he's already got a great offer, which is life eternal. If
right.
you give yourself over to Jesus Christ, I mean, that's a fantastic offer. You can't beat that.
Yeah, but the only thing, though, is you got to give up the sex, and you got to give up the free thought, and you got to give up
and
the...
And fags can't get married.
Fags can't get married, and you got to have lots of babies, because every sperm is sacred.
Yeah, you got to stop killing the babies. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem that they face, you know, is that Catholicism, like all religion, I mean, it does well in places like Africa and Latin America,
where
but there's a lot of misery. But when people have, like, jobs and money and comfort, they don't want to put up with religion. You know what I mean? It's the people who are suffering unbearably who need to turn to religion.
They got God in the lottery. That's what they the twin engines of our economy. Exactly.
Exactly. Whereas here in the U.S., you know, we just medicate, we buy things. That's how we deal with our problems.
Very religious too. Don't forget for a moment that we happen to be a very righteous place.
No, I mean, come on,
we're puritanical. The people that came and started this country were kicked out of other countries because they couldn't take us anymore.
Absolutely.
Didn't they essentially say, you know what, you fucking stick in the muds are really bringing us down. Why do you leave?
Yeah, they did. They did. But remember, America also has another tradition. Look, we're the country that basically invented pornography as an industry.
Yeah, we do hold the patents on pornography. You're right.
I mean, hey, come on. Hugh Hefner, American. Yes. Bob Guccione. You can't name a significant foreign pornographer.
You know what? I can't. That's interesting. I cannot think of one. Pope Benedict? Pope Benedictine?
He could. No. He could. Well, actually, some of those popes back in the Renaissance, they were pretty randy. But no, we got the Puritan thing. But we've also got, we also produced the Henry Millers.
Right, right.
Way more.
And is that why we're so schizophrenic as a country? I mean, because what's been going on in the last 5 years under George Bush, and what continues to go on, this whole idea of people sort of fucking themselves in the ass by believing two separate things at one time, it's really... I mean, is that why we're so schizo? Because we're Puritan, but Puritans that love pornography?
Well, look, a Puritan and a pornographer are basically the same thing. Okay? Because a Puritan, they
By the way, I love when chicks dress up like pilgrims. That's a great big turn on.
Oh, totally.
With nothing on underneath.
Yes. Oh,
that's
absolutely
fucking excellent.
Yeah. Oh, that cooks my turkey.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thankful. When they got the look, a Puritan is someone who's just obsessed about sex and wants to control it all the time. Someone
right.
like Hugh Hefner is obsessed about sex and just wants to have it all the time. They both got sex on the brain.
Yeah.
Basically, sort of the flip side of the same coin. So it makes perfect sense that we would have our Anthony Comstocks, and then we would have Al Goldstein. Because it's a sex thing. Only one person wants to repress it, and the other person wants to express it. So, you don't get that. Look, people like the Italians and French, people who have normal kind of sex lives, who aren't twisted from get-go.
Yeah,
they don't really have pornography. I mean, they do have pornography, of course, but it's not like they're not totally obsessed with it.
It's American porn.
Yeah, whereas in America, we're totally obsessed with it. Oh, come on, it's Sweeps Weeks on TV. That means the local news is going to do a lot of stuff that's salacious, because they know we're going to tune in.
Yeah, I like that word salacious, too. I'll always tune in if things are salacious.
Exactly.
Mm-mm. Salacious and bodacious. Mm-mm.
Exactly, and lugubrious.
But let's go back to the Christian identity thing for a minute, because that's the most fascinating thing that's happening, as far as I'm concerned, under George Bush, is this idea that we are a Christian nation.
Right.
And this whole people of faith thing that's going on now is just, does that mean I'm just a faithless bastard? Is that what that means?
No, not at all.
I am, though. I don't really have any faith.
No. Please, you have tons of faith. You just don't have religious faith.
Oh, is there another kind?
Oh, yeah, people have faith in a whole bunch of things.
I have no faith in the ozone layer.
And people have faith in democracy.
My faith in democracy is stretched kind of thin right now. I keep thinking that democracy is like a slot machine that this current administration has learned how to play. Like those guys that will come in with some device and they can figure out how to play the slot machine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's been going on these days.
Right.
We're all getting kind of fucked. And we're told while we're getting fucked that everything is great and that if we just sign on with this program, everything will be perfect. And the other day, there was that picture of Bush holding hands with the Saudi prince.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's been getting a lot of ridicule, on TV. That's become fodder for all these late-night comedians. It's disgusting. It made me want to vomit when I saw that.
Sure.
I wanted to begin vomiting because weren't those the same... Isn't that the same family that essentially funded the 9/11 terrorists? Or am I out of my mind?
No, you're right.
Am I out of my mind, or isn't that the same family that saw to it that, that provided the funds for the attack?
Yeah, pretty much, they continue to fund the Islamic militants and the madrasas, yeah.
But they're fucking us from behind. They're fucking us every which way they can. They're selling us oil, and it's their answer essentially was, it doesn't matter if we increased output. Your refineries are, at full capacity. You're refining all the oil you can. It doesn't matter if we give you more. What are you going to do? You got to build new refineries. You want more gas.
Absolutely.
And Bush, that fucking prick, he actually said, there's nothing I can do about the price of gas. Do you believe he actually said that?
Yeah, I can't believe
it. When all he has to do is raise the minimum miles per gallon that some of these vehicles get currently, all he has to do is stop classifying the Hummer as farm equipment and letting people take a tax deduction when they buy a fucking Hummer that gets 7 miles to the gallon, and then they stick their fucking yellow ribbon on the back or their little camouflage ribbon or their red, white, and blue ribbon. Support our troops. Fuck you, you asshole. Why don't you drive a car that gets decent gas mileage? I see these SUVs around here all the time. And I really start to lose it a little bit inside. I start to get so angry that people can be so unironic in their approach to life, that they can drive around in one of these things with a support our troops sticker on the back and never make the connection between the shitty gas mileage their fucking SUV gets and the sons and daughters that have to go over there and die in the sand to see to it that they can keep pumping gas at $2 a fucking gallon.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I want to start gouging eyes out and skull fucking people, Andy. I swear to God, I wanted to skull fuck them there in the gas station. You motherfucker!
Well, maybe, yeah, you know, maybe you should get like a bumper sticker or something.
You know, there's a great bumper sticker. It's got the image of Osama bin Laden on it, and you stick it on the other person's SUV, and it says, "Thanks for driving an SUV," and it's got a picture of Osama on it. That's a good one.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that one. It's just so fucked up. Things are so fucked up right now. They're so upside down. When I think that, like, GM didn't want to go into the hybrid vehicle program in the 70s, they said, we don't need that. Fuck that. We don't need that. You know? And last year they lost $3 billion. Every other commercial on TV is for a fucking Escalade. There's even a commercial with some whore who's driving in her huge luxury SUV, and the commercial ends when she opens up the lift gate and there's like one tiny little bag in the center of this huge empty SUV.
Right.
What are they trying to tell us? I mean, how are they conditioning us? What are they trying to say to us about just continuing to be wasteful and continuing to deplete the resources, continuing to kill the earth? I mean, what the fuck's going on?
Well, they want to make money, and they know that it's Americans like their SUVs. They want that stuff, which should have been outlawed years ago. The SUV, I mean, that's pretty obvious. But that's what they want. I mean, they, you know, and also a lot of it is sort of this mean spirited, like, you know, fuck you, let's destroy the environment, nuke the whales, fuck you, hippie ego.
You know, I think that you're tapping into something that I've long believed about our society, about this current incarnation. We're very death driven. There's not a lot of life driven things going on. I look at it, and what I see is this death driven society that is so eager to die and go off to its great reward. And that's part of the problem with the whole Christian identity thing, this apocalyptic approach to life. So what if we use up all the resources? Jesus is going to take care of us all.
Oh yeah, totally. But to a certain degree, I think the whole Christian thing, we'll see how far it goes, because it is pretty freaky. But bottom line, this is driven by business. You know what I mean?
Well, the business of America is business. I mean, you know, exactly. And GM, what's good for GM is good for America.
Yeah, and they may go under GM.
When the Chinese cars get here, that'll be something. Then everybody can afford a car. Go down and get yourself a $5,000 Chinese car.
Exactly.
Because that's what we're going to need.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, when that day arrives, I think we just admit that the game is over. That the whole thing is over. We just admit, you know what, globalization, maybe not such a great idea. We fucked ourselves. I mean, are we willing, as far as you're concerned, is America willing to be equals with everybody else in the world instead of being number one? Or maybe even a little bit behind, lagging a little bit behind? Are we willing to do that, Andy?
We already are. Look, I mean, in the papers, if you look, already the rest of the world doesn't take us seriously.
And the dollar keeps declining?
Venezuela thumbs its nose at us. Like, it's incredible. You know, if you read the papers, Condi Rice goes down to Latin America to try to whip up, you know, anti-Venezuelan fury. And all the nations down there basically laugh at her and say, look, this is, you know, just shut up. We're going to cut, Brazil is cutting deals with China.
You know what?
Nobody, Americans, we like to think that we're this great big power, and we are big and powerful, but the world is basically changing, and it's not going to be an American, you know, at this rate, in 20 years, we're going to be, you know, at the level of, like, what Spain is now.
Well, you know, they call it the American century for a reason, though, I think. I mean, it has to end at some point. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, this is the part that really kills me, is that all of these right-wingers that are in control, I mean, believe that they act from a patriotic place, that they're patriots.
Right.
And they're not at all. I mean, they don't give a fucking shit about this country. They care about this country to the extent to which they can milk it for every last cent they can make.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a smash and fucking grab. That's all it is. And, you know, and it just is amazing when, like, Dennis Kozlowski sits there and says, I don't remember what that loan for $15 million was. Mm-hmm. The one, right. Which loan? The one in 2001 or the one in 2002? I don't remember why I got it. You're like, who the fuck can't remember why they got a $15 million loan?
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
Andy,
I'd remember.
I would remember if I took out a $15 million loan.
Definitely.
But the greed is really out of sight. You have to admit that the greed that we're living under nowadays, it makes the 80s look like pikers. They look like pikers.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was chicken shit. That was chump change back in the 80s compared to what they're doing now. It was really freaky about, like, those religious people, though, what you're saying. Is I don't even think those people are very patriotic. You know, like, you listen, like, if you look at all these people who, you know, into the whole Jesus thing or whatever, and then, like, out on the pickup truck, they got a Confederate flag. It's like, you know, what country are you with, buddy?
They're like, I guess they're like what you used to, I mean, they're, you know, that phrase, cafeteria Catholics who kind of pick and choose. They're like cafeteria Christians. They'll read the part of the Bible that applies to them, and the rest of it, they like, You know, I mean, if you were, Jesus was a fucking sandal-footed hippie. I mean, you and I know that. He preached love and understanding. He washed the feet of the fucking whores. He worked with lepers and all this shit. Maybe he rode a donkey once. I don't think he was ever in a wheeled vehicle. Did he ride in a cart?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. They made him walk everywhere, right?
Exactly.
But it's amazing how they will selectively apply Jesus H. Christ, and they don't really deal with the parts they don't need to deal with. I tell you, I get really depressed sometimes. I look at the way things are, and I wonder, where does our power lie to change anything? I mean, I would like to wrap up this conversation somehow feeling like, it's not all doom and gloom and despair. What can people do? I mean, I get those things from Move On, and I click the link, and I send the automated message to my fucking congressman, and then he sends another automated message back to me. Dear person, thank you for writing to me. Good for you, kind of message. What do people do? I mean, what do we do about what's going on?
I don't know. I mean, all you can do is you know, I think a stupid thing. Not stupid.
Didn't we discuss before the show that you were going to have an answer prepared?
I
thought we discussed before the show.
I think you might have mentioned something. I don't know. Anyway.
You should have just said drink. That's
drink.
The answer.
Okay, there we go. Drink.
Drink.
There, now you can edit it.
Drink at home alone.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no. I don't mean to put you on the spot. And I know when you say I don't know that, I do what I can, and I think that's all you can do. If people out there at least would email their congressman, maybe that's something. Maybe that's, call him up and say how you feel about something.
Right.
Say how you feel about the filibuster.
Yeah. No. Here's what people should do. Everyone listening, here's basically what you should do, okay?
Sneak into the gated communities and start killing people?
Absolutely.
No,
buy an
we
SUV.
Can't.
That's what you need to do. Move out to the birds of the SUV. No, really. What people really need to do, if they're really interested in doing something, is take an issue that they're really interested in, find other people who are also interested in it with them, and then do something about that. Like for me, we're at my job. I'm a member of a labor union.
There you go.
So that's what I do. Now, I can look at a whole bunch of other things or whatever, but that's just going to make me totally depressed. And if you concentrate on what you got, so if you care about the environment, there are other people out there who care. Go work with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they got some very real goals. We want to do A, B, or C. And just do that. And I'll tell you another thing, too. They did some studies of this stuff in England. And they found that people who are activists, who go out and go to rallies and help out with organizations or whatever, are much happier than people who don't.
Yeah, I would imagine they feel like they can at least impact something, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing, to be optimistic, and then I'll get off my soapbox here, is it's always been sucky. Okay? Back in the 80s when Reagan was there and we were killing thousands of people in Latin America and there was all this stuff with the nuclear weapons were being reproduced and stuff, it was grim too. I mean, there's always going to be these evil motherfuckers rallying to rob us of our money and our rights, and it's just, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
It's always going to be.
I know, but I think that the picture I see in my mind is like just a lever just to like a seesaw, and the fulcrum point keeps changing, and at some points you have more leverage. In history, you've had more leverage, and we're at the point now where the leverage is kind of gone for the most part. There aren't people in labor union, although that's not true.
I would disagree with that, because if you go back to if you look at the turn of the century, okay, labor unions were illegal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, that was the golden age, wasn't it?
That was great. That was the perfect time. But in other words, those people had to fought against odds, just odds that you and I never in our worst reality could we come up with the kind of things like them, with the people just literally being killed and shot over these things.
Yeah.
You know, and for God's sake, if someone is black or a woman or a gay or an environmentalist or whatever, just look what America was like 100 years ago. And it was much worse than anything that we got now.
Yeah. Well, you're right. But you're also saying at the same time that things have always been sucky. And I'm arguing that, I think what I'm arguing is that things right now at this particular point we've reached a low point, and we have to start thinking about climbing sort of back out of this hole. Mm-hmm. And I'm hopeful that there have been some signs that, that the program that the president wants to push through in his second administration, he may not get what he wants.
Right.
And he's having a difficult time selling the Social Security reform. He's having a difficult time with these judges he'd like to get confirmed in the circuit courts. He's having a difficult time with Tom DeLay.
Right.
And Bill Frist has become an embarrassment. I mean, these people are running off the rails, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, they are.
I'm glad to see it, finally.
Yeah. And as for Social Security, because I saw his little press conference the other day.
The one he ended crisply so the 9 o'clock primetime shows could come on and he
absolutely
would never be interrupted, that prick.
Absolutely. But look, his Social Security plan, which is really these guys, they want to destroy Social Security. The public isn't buying it. Now, we'll see what happens with his new proposal. But his new proposal basically is, I'm going to cut your benefits.
Well, he's going to soak the middle class? Mostly
the middle class.
See to it that the poor continue to receive Social Security. It's just all a shell game with this guy. He's always just trying to move shit around so you don't see the fucking pee.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And I'm just so tired of it. I can't wait till this is over.
Totally. But people aren't buying it. And actually, I was going to say, if people do want to say, oh, what should I do? What should I get involved with? Actually, I think the Social Security thing is the perfect thing for folks to get involved with, because it's critical. And there are a bunch of groups and there are a bunch of folks you can contact or lobby, to help with lobbying.
Yeah.
Because this thing is has to be killed. And is already hideously unpopular.
Now, he wants that because he wants all of these commissions flowing through these private firms. I mean, isn't that really what this is about? Is that to revive Wall Street by having all these commissions and money that they can make investing, your fucking Social Security money in some company that's going to go belly up or be run into the ground by Kenneth Lay or somebody? I mean, isn't that really the hidden agenda here?
Partly. But that's the overt agenda. I think the hidden agenda is they just hate the whole principle of Social Security.
Yeah,
of a social contract. Look, Dick Cheney and George Bush, it's very simple what they want.
And who's that other guy, Grover Norquist?
That's right. These guys are real simple. They want a plantation. Remember the old Southern plantations? Right?
Yes.
This is their concept of an ideal society.
Right.
They're the masters of the house, and we work in the field for no pay.
Right.
And the whole idea of Social Security is it's a social contract.
Right,
and that's really what it is. It's a way of binding us together as a society, and who can, and to the plantation owner, fuck that. That's not the whole point. The point is to have because here's the nightmare with Social Security. Because my mom is on Social Security, right?
Yeah.
And if you cut her Social Security, okay, I'm not going to let her go hungry or lose a home, right?
Right.
So I'm going to have to start throwing money to her.
Fuck that.
So it impoverishes her. Impoverishes me.
Right.
Perfect for these guys. If your idea of America is a good plantation,
right,
you got to have people poor and terrified. And as long as they have Social Security, they're going to be uppity and they're not going to obey the plantation master.
Well, they do run everything on fear. I mean, it is a program of be afraid, be very afraid. I mean, everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, they're still using 9/11 as this boogeyman, however you want to call him. They are, we're still in Iraq with that misadventure, which is soon to my mind, it already has surpassed Vietnam as a clusterfuck. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's immense. I mean, more and more, you know, insurgent attacks, people getting blown up, people getting killed. They just want us out of there. And yeah. And we are not leaving until that fucking oil starts heading towards America. Believe me.
Right. Absolutely.
We're not leaving until we get some production up and running. What do you think we went there for?
Absolutely.
What
now? I was going to say, with the fear, there was an interesting little incident. Because these Republicans, they do, that is their goal. Their goal is that people be afraid of them. Way back when back last year when the Clinton Library opened in December of last year.
That made me very fearful, by the way.
Exactly. I know. That's very fearful. Be fearful if it opened by me, you know,
yeah.
Right?
Be afraid.
But, exactly. Be afraid. Well, Karl Rove got a tour of the library before he got a special tour of it. And the little tour guide was leading him around or whatever. And he was there with Rove, right? And he said to Rove at the end of the tour,
"Kiss my ass, motherfucker."
Exactly. No, yeah. And he said to it very nicely and jocularly, he said, "Hey, you're not such a scary guy.
Scumbag.
Motherfucker, big fucker. You're not such a scary guy." And Rove got furious.
Really?
And said to him, "Yes, I am. I am a scary guy. I change constitutions." And then wobbled on off in a huff.
He actually said this, Carl?
He actually said this. This was in Salon. In Salon, reported it.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you come on, I change constitutions. There is no constitution this man has changed, including ours.
Okay. Oh, that he would love to. I mean, they would love to, but that's not going to happen either.
Right. But look at this delusional. You know, it's like, no, you should be afraid. Like, what kind of person says, yes, I want the docent to be afraid of me, you know? I want the tour guide at the Museum of the Great Fornicator fear me.
You just gave me an idea, and to go back to something we were talking about earlier about what you can do, I think one of the things I would like to do, and I'm serious about this, I think I'm going to call some of these moderate Republicans and thank them. And say, you know, I'm really glad that you're kind of breaking away a little bit, you know, and it's not all groupthink with you guys. I'm really impressed that you're sort of thinking for yourself and you disagree with the president on Social Security. I mean, just to give them a little encouragement. Maybe they're feeling all alone. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they need a little fucking encouragement.
Right.
And us to say, you know, I'm glad that you're seeing this thing for the charade that it is up until now. So just keep doing that.
You
know?
And look, there's always, I'm lucky. I live in a district that's very liberal and the like, but a lot of people, they don't. What they need to do is sort of target the moderates in their region, you know what I mean? And push them.
Right.
So if you got somebody who's if you got some Tom DeLay, Newt Gingrich type, you're screwed.
Yeah, DeLay, motherfucker, what a piece of work that guy is.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, we could do a whole show just about Tom DeLay.
Oh, please, absolutely.
Just from starting with his name. I mean, just, and his former business as an exterminator.
Oh, yeah.
And
that
amazing
hairpiece. That horrible hairpiece.
Oh,
he has.
It's just all amazing. Do you think he's going down? Do you think he's going to.
Oh, hell no.
You don't think.
No, I think he's going to stay.
You think so?
Yeah, I could be wrong on it because, you know, you never can tell. But I think he's going to stay because the Republicans right now, their attitude is, you know, fuck you, America. That's really what they are.
Yeah,
you know. So I think the fact that we don't like DeLay is why we're going to get DeLay, you know? And just sort of like, why does on the plantation model, the people who work the plantation, who cares whether or not you like the guy who cracks the whip, right?
Yeah.
But I also think that for the Dems, DeLay is great. DeLay is the gift that will keep on giving because he's such an ugly, you know, hideous sort of person that for the Dems, hell, they'd love to have. Now people keep referring to DeLay. Even journalists keep referring to him as the Speaker of the House.
Really?
Which he's not.
No.
But he's become so prominent now that when journalists write it up, every now and then they'll make the mistake and they'll refer to him as House Speaker DeLay.
Yeah.
So he's becoming the face of the Republican Party, and the Democrats love it. They know they're going to fundraise and get votes if Tom DeLay's in. If he's gone and they put up some, you know, Mr. Rogers kind of freak.
Yeah.
That's what it won't work. So I think that DeLay's actually going to stay.
I do hope someone makes a poster or a commercial out of the Bush walking with the Saudi prince, though. I do think that needs to become a commercial or a poster.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one, that will not die. That will be one of the signature photographs of the Bush era.
Let's wrap it up. I'm going to tell people what they've been listening to. This is a Midnight Call, a friend. My guest has been Andy Nicastro. in Seattle in the College Park area. Is that what you called it? College?
University District.
The University District.
Yes.
Where the streets are pretty much rolled up at this point.
Yes.
Not a lot of activity and... you know, nice talking to you for the Midnight Call a Friend segment. Download Communication Breakdown, Andy, and give us your blog address again.
Yeah, my blog address again is andynicastro.blogspot.com.
And I'm going to have a link to that from my blog, the Communication Breakdown blog.
Very cool. And, so people... and the Communication Breakdown blog is now linked to mine.
What do you know? We're blog rolling.
There we are.
That's
we
great.
Are.
I love blog rolling. Let's just, I'm trying to think of a way that we can just put a nail in this thing. You know what I mean? Just finish this thing for the night. And I guess the thing to say is that, you know, it's sort of mixed right now. I'm feeling sort of half and half. I feel hopeful and I feel despair almost in equal measure. So I'm on an equilibrium and maybe
right.
I should be happy for that. Maybe I should be happy about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Then you can go from one to the other.
Like a bipolar person? What are you saying?
You don't want too much despair. If you get a little bit too happy, you can activate the despair. If you get too despairing, you can activate the optimism.
I'm looking for some the middle way. That's true. I need some balance so I can take the middle way. Absolutely.
It's a yin-yang kind of thing.
Say hello to your mother. Say hello to your sister.
And, will do.
I'm sure they will be future guests on Communication Breakdown. Warn them about the Midnight Call a Friend segment.
I definitely will.
Because their phone may ring and it might be Communication Breakdown.
That's right. Communication Breakdown can strike at any time.
That's what I should say when they pick up the phone. I should say, Communication Breakdown calling. Just like that. They'll go, what the fuck is this? And then hang the phone up on me. It'll be like, yeah, that would be good. All right. I'll talk to you later, Andy.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You're experiencing a Communication Breakdown on WFMU.org.
I'd like to introduce to you the Rubber Duck, also known as Chris T.
I thought it was Kenny Rogers, hot dogs.
Yeah. I can sell you a roaster if you're hungry. I want to tell a little story as a preface to this number, if that's okay.
It's definitely okay.
When I was a kid, my grandmother used to rent the second floor of her house, and one of the boarders was this miserable old Irish lady named Lily. She used to like to sit downstairs and drink her Jamesons and point her finger at me and say, this one's going to grow up to be a truck driver. I think this song is as close as I get. I also want to point out that I used to work with Buddy. I would drive the van and he would lure the children inside. And not only are these two friends of mine, Larry and Meredith, they're my ride home tonight.
Let's give this a try.
This is a genuine American protest song and the last one that was a number one hit. If you know the words, sing along. Lie. Cab over people.
card. Here's armored cars. Take the cheap bring the girl tied. Yeah, the ticket booth was full of bears and shoppers filled the sky. Well, we found a ride and we went to run with a foul and screaming truck. And 11 long-haired friends and jeans in a chartreuse microbus.
T will be back in 2 weeks with another Communication Breakdown.
Pain or damage, don't end the world. Or despair or fucking beatings. The world ends when you're dead. Until then, you got more punishment in store. Stand it like a man and give some back.